Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. McCarl D. Thomas Sr. chronicles the challenges he's overcome in a prophet's journey through midnight. And an asthmatic child, he lost two brothers before being born and was left to wonder why he was spared. While he grew up with loving parents and siblings, his father was illiterate. More challenges would loom, none worse than the death of his son, Mikey, at age 17. His harrowing journey also involved a divorce, a battle with prostate cancer, and contending with the death of his parents. In A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight, he shares the pain of going through so many ordeals and looks back at the obstacles he overcame during 45 years in pastoral ministry. Dr. Thomas is a native of Detroit, graduated from Wayne State University with a BA in Sociology and Speech, obtained a Master's of Divinity from the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, Georgia, Doctor of Ministry from Boston University School of Theology, and a Master's in Public Administration from the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. He is currently serving as Senior Pastor of Historic Ebenezer AME Church in Detroit, Michigan. McCarl Thomas, author of A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight, joining us on This Week in America. Dr. Thomas, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. I feel honored to be a part of this program.
What a remarkable job you've done with this book, a book where you share your life in order to help others, and the reviews have been excellent for the book, A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight. What was the impetus in writing this book? What motivated you to sit down and to write your story?
Well, when I lost my son on June the 14th of 1997, there were a number of persons who would call me. They would express their sympathy. They would say, "I'm praying for you." But so many of those statements were so empty, and I was hurting and just about gone. A couple of friends had made referrals in terms of a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But I said to myself, "My God, I do not want anybody else to have to go through what I've gone through and to feel as if they have left in a vacuum by themselves. And maybe if I can share my story and try to let people know how a faith in God and walking by faith, even when you could not walk by sight, had mobilized me and allowed me to make it when I did not think I would survive, maybe it would encourage and help someone else on that same journey in the future." And so that's the reason I started chronicling my experiences, and it led me to write the book.
The book, as I say, is touching so many people. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The title of the book, A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight by McCarl D. Thomas, Sr. The book available, as I say, wherever books are sold. Dr. Thomas's website is seeinglightthroughthecracks.com. All of that information on our website. You can click on directly to Dr. Thomas's website, order the book there as well, or order the book from wherever books are sold. What's your emotional journey like at this time? You went through so many different situations. It's tough for some people to think, "I will ever come out of these." What's the journey like for you now?
I have good days and I have challenging days. But when I reflect on how far I believe that my faith in God has brought me, I know that God has never declared bankruptcy. He's never gone out of business, and he can still give me the strength and the courage to go on. You have to be realistic and realize that there will be some days where you will have some mild depression. You have to learn how to space your time. And what I've learned how to do is to do so much. And when I feel that I'm at the end of the rope for that day, I just have to pause and continue with what I need to do the next day. By the grace of God, I went through renal failure, but it was on August the 29th of last year, 2024, I was able to get a new kidney. So that was another blessing that God provided me with. So I'm just rejoicing and thanking, because if it had not been for him, I could not make it.
Talk about the immediate family structure at this time in your life, and talk about your health as well. It sounds like you're bouncing back very well and doing exceptionally.
Yes. Well, I'm fortunate to have a good wife. We have a blended family. We all get along quite well. My wife is active in the church. She's over our communication ministry, and that came about during the pandemic. We had an audio ministry. We were not live streaming or doing anything. And it just so happened that there was a young man in the church on the trustee board, and he had been a part of the audio ministry, and he had just gotten a new camera that he ordered, not thinking that it would be used to start our whole live stream broadcasting. And so it grew. People donated. Now we have a complete communication lab. That's going well. And then by the grace of God, right at 9 years ago, we were able to get a home in Detroit. And there was a very, very dear friend, O'Neill D. Swanson, of the O'Neill D. Swanson Funeral Home, who helped to guide me in that process. And then a very close friend of mine, Dr. Garfield Johnson, who has made his transition, his wife, Shirley, who was the managing partner of a major hotel here, helped me. And then I had the support, like I said, of my wife, of our children combined, and thanks be to God, of my nieces, my nephew. I had two sisters. And so because of that close family, and we've always been close, and I found that to be encouraging, and I love music. I was a drummer, and that was a battle for me because I was torn between trying to be a professional drummer or accepting my call to ministry.
Interesting.
So because I love music so much, and my wife had a good girlfriend. She's married to the late Clark Terry, and Clark Terry, a very great jazz musician.
Oh, yes.
We became close friends. He even played at my son's funeral, and I've gone to be at his home, and we were just the best of friends. And then throughout my life, I just started reflecting. Ralph David Abernathy was like a blood brother of mine, and his wife, Juanita, when she was alive, they had me to preach his funeral on Monday night, and Evie Hill preached that Monday. I mean, I preached that Sunday night. Evie Hill preached that Monday. So I've had a lot of great experiences in the midst of my challenges. The last challenge I had, I was on dialysis for 5 years, 7 months, and 3 weeks, and that was a monster. It was the first Sunday of January 2018 that my kidneys just gave way. And because I had been a prostate cancer survivor, there was some pessimism on the part of some medical people as to whether or not I would ever get a kidney or bounce back. But I never lost my faith. And so then, fortunately, the Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, they saved my life. And I'm grateful to God. So that's another example of being able to make it no matter what you're going through.
So if you think you've got problems, you read this book by Dr. Thomas and realize all that he has gone through and where he is today with the passion still strong and doing what he's doing and helping people. The book, Prophet's Journey Through Midnight by McCarl D. Thomas, that's McCarl Thomas. Dr. Thomas's website is seeinglightthroughthecracks.com. ProIoPublishing.com is the publisher. Book available there, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Let's talk about probably the worst thing that has ever happened in your life, and that is losing your son, Mikey. Talk about the relationship that you had with him and how, if you were ever able to come to terms with a 17-year-old, your son, dying.
Well, first of all, I have to be honest. My son was in his friend's car, was driving, speeding. He lost control and hit a wall, and he died. As painful as that is, I have to accept the reality that my son made a mistake. It just so happened that stake was terminal. It was final. That's the beginning of it. You just have to accept that fact. We were extremely close. He had two sisters. I was close with all three of my children, but my son, I mean, we would go places together. When I took him to his first football practice with Pop Warner, many of the things they did there, we had done in our backyard. Go out for like 5 yards and make a cut, and I would throw the ball to him. We would exercise together and do all of that. On Sunday, when he was a little fellow, when church was over, and I would recess out, getting ready to greet the people, he would run down the aisle and jump up in my arms. I mean, he was my buddy, my road dog. I was the father now. It wasn't a buddy-buddy relationship. I still was a father and a disciplinarian. So when it happened, June the 14th, early in the morning, it knocked me out. I never thought I will come back. I'd even picked up an exercise machine and thrown through the window, and I was just getting ready to jump. I lost it. And my wife grabbed me. And what happened, I was losing weight. I was just in turmoil 24/7. But I never stopped praying. My mother, my father prayed for me. And I had a good relationship with my father, but not a great relationship. And one of the prayers that I had was that, Lord, if you would just bless me with a son, I want to be able to have the kind of relationship with my son that I wished I had with my father. And at the age of 6, I found out, my father told me, that he could not read nor write. He was a functional illiterate. We believe now that he was dyslexic. But born in 1920 in Montgomery County, Alabama, that was not a common diagnosis. So when I learned to read, I did not learn to read for comprehension, but my pronunciation and enunciation was above average because I would have to cover for my father. He was in the Baptist church, my mother's in the Methodist church, but when he would come with me to a father and son evening and one of the senior men might come and say, Mr. Thomas, we would like for you to read the scripture. I have to say, oh, my father forgot his glasses. He left them at home, but I'll read for him. So I wasn't reading because I was trying to acquire knowledge at that time. Now I do that.
Yes.
But I had to insulate myself from my friends and others because I didn't want them to know that my father could not read. But he always had a job, basically was a truck driver. He was a very excellent provider, but that was just a void. And that was the first real pain I've experienced in life. At 6 years of age, I'd come home with a permission slip that needed to be signed by a parent for me to go on a trip. And every time I would come home with a slip like that, my father would say, well, let your mother sign it. So I said, Dad, you're home before Mama. Why can't you sign it? And that's when he told me. I can remember the house, 7424 Oakland. I can remember the chair. I can remember being on my knees in front of my father. And when he said, son, your dad cannot read nor write. And a portion of my heart just leaped from me. And from that point on, I had to learn how to cope with challenges. And I've been a chronic asthmatic diagnosed when I was 9 months old. So there were a number of things that happened to me. But by the grace of God, I'm here.
It's such a powerful story, and it comes to life in Dr. Thomas's book, A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight by McCarl D. Thomas. That's M-I-C-K-A-R-L, book available wherever books are sold. Did you continue pastoring during this midnight journey? And if so, how difficult was that to continue pastoring?
It was difficult, but it was going to be more disastrous and difficult if I did nothing.
Yes.
And just stayed at home. My mother, I never will forget this, the first anniversary of my son's death, I called my mother that evening because we would talk quite a bit. But she hadn't called me that day. And I said, Mother, Mom, what's up? Don't you know what day it is? She said, yes, son, but I'm not going to support your pity party. You have to keep pushing and keep trusting. And that one statement gave me the gusto that I needed. And so I went on. I dealt with funerals. I dealt with counseling. But because of me being transparent about my experiences, I was able to give some hope and help parishioners. And I just feel it's part of what life is meant for me. But as the recording artist Curtis Mayfield, you have to keep on pushing.
And I would think going through what you went through and people being aware of the suffering that you had in your life gave you certainly more credibility as a pastor in leading them. It's not someone whose life has been virtually without conflict, without disappointments, without loss, trying to tell them something. You actually experienced that. That had to make you a better pastor, didn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you reflect on courses in pastoral counseling. I went through a course here as a pastoral care specialist. But then when I sit down and talk to people now, it's not what I read or what I heard,
yes.
It's what I know. And I've had persons to call me who have dealt with prostate cancer. I've had persons to communicate with me who lost a child as well. And from talking to me and knowing that I've been down that road, it made a difference. You know, you've heard the old saying, never criticize an Indian until you walk the mile in his moccasin.
Yes.
Well, they knew that I have walked more than a mile. And so I've been able to help some people, and I'm grateful to God for that.
I mentioned in the beginning, 45 years in the ministry. Are you preparing to retire, or is this something that you're going to continue?
No. As a matter of fact, this year, that's when I was writing that book, but this year is actually my 51st year in the pastoral ministry, and this is my 11th year pastoring Ebenezer AME Church. And the irony is, this is the church where I got started. I was a youth pastor at Ebenezer from 1969 to 72. Then I left to go to seminary, never thought I would be back in Detroit, let alone pastoring. So I am actually ending my ministry where I started. And another significant point is, this is my seventh church to pastor. And seven stands for completion, wholeness. So it's like I've made a complete circle.
Yes, and that's such an amazing career that you've had and continue to have in serving people. And I mentioned the historic Ebenezer AME Church. What's that like? The history there, I would think, even as many years as you've been there, you look around and it has to be awe-inspiring to know what's happened, the people that have gone through that church, the lives that have been touched and saved because of that church. What influence does that church have on you? It's almost like a living structure, isn't it?
Yes, well, my father in the ministry was Reverend Dr. Fred E. Stevens, who actually was born in Kentucky, grew up in Indiana. He was the pastor of the church at that time. We became extremely close. I even have a picture with him holding my son when he was young, and he was almost like a surrogate father. Not only was he the pastor of the church, but then eventually I joined the same fraternity that he was a member of, because the first African-American male that I knew to graduate from college was a man by the name of Walter Kreider. And he happened to be in the fraternity that I'm in, because I joined that fraternity because Walter Kreider was a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. So now in the church itself, this church is over, the denomination itself is over 200 years old, the AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal. This particular church, Ebenezer, is over 150 years old, and we were able to celebrate that anniversary since I have been back. Secondly, this church historically was the first early mega church. This church had, at one time, they had over 3,000 members. This is going way, way back.
Yes.
And for many years, this church had the number one budget in the whole denomination. That is no longer the case. Now that's when the automobile industry was flourishing and everything was different. Now we're looking at a congregation right a little over 300, but you have had a lot of people to die, people have relocated, and things are just totally different. But this church has meant the world to me, and I just feel honored to have started my ministry and be able to end it here.
Our guest on the program is Dr. McCarroll D. Thomas, Sr. That's M-I-C-K-A-R-L. The book is A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight, book available wherever books are sold. His website is seeinglightthroughcracks.com. The book, of course, available at Amazon. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A few minutes left in the program. With all that you've dealt with, you have dealt with the people that you've counseled in your church, the problems they've dealt with over the years. What's the correlation between mental and physical health?
There is a direct correlation. I'm reading now a book that my wife gave me in 1999. I just didn't read it, but it's God, the Evidence. It's written by Patrick Lynn. There is a direct correlation. Whenever you have a traumatic experience or shock to the body, it affects you physically and mentally. There was no history in my family of prostate cancer. It was after the death of my son. As an infant, I had eczema, but then I developed a little small trace of psoriasis. After my son died, psoriasis took over my whole body. And it was when I was in the office of a dermatologist in Philadelphia. He said, I'm not going to touch you. He happened to be a frat brother. He gave me a business card of a psychologist. And I had gone to see a couple of others, and we just could not connect. But it was from that card and my fraternity brother's dermatologist getting me in contact with that psychologist that started me on my road. Eventually, I left Philadelphia, and I was in Chicago for right at 12 years, and I was able to find a good therapist there. But there's a direct correlation between your physical and your mental health. And that's the reason I believe so wholeheartedly, just as you had the theologian Bultmann, who talked about demythologizing scripture. My philosophy is that we must destigmatize mental health. Just if you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. If your foot hurts, you see a podiatrist. When you are depressed, when you're frustrated, go and get professional help. It's absolutely necessary.
And so often, and maybe we're breaking that barrier down, it's almost a sign of weakness if you admit to not be able to deal with everything. And with your background, what you've gone through, and the powerful words that you express in your book, A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight, it's something we all need to face. It's a fact of life. And I love the answer on that, the correlation between mental and physical health, and the fact that physically you got better when you had the mental health and more under control. A minute or so left. So interested in this, faith and religion. How do you view faith and religion in coping with challenges in life? It obviously got you through multiple difficult situations. How do you view the relationship, faith and religion, in getting you through the tough times?
You have to believe that there is a superior, a supreme, a great, or an awesome power source. You have to believe that you are not going to stay in the predicament or situation you're in. I remember as a young teenager, I was with a friend of mine, and these two older fellows wanted to fight. And one, I believe, had a knife. And my friend, his sister was there. And I said to my friend's sister, go get my father, go get my father. She ran home, and about 3 minutes later, my father running down the street, and these two gentlemen who wanted to pick a fight looked and saw my father, and they took off. But I had confidence that if my daddy get here, I'll be okay. Well, that's the same kind of belief I have in my Heavenly Father. I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm down. But if I call upon him, just like my father came to help my friend and myself when we were getting ready to be attacked by these two older fellows, God will do the same thing. Be still and know that I am God. And then we have to also remember God is our refuge and strength. It's a faith journey, but you have to have it, because if you believe that everything is contingent upon you as an individual and you know that you're weak, you're a finite creature, then you'll lose hope. But when you know there's a greater power somewhere, you might define it in different ways, but you have hope and you believe in that. That will give you the courage to go on. Now, my first church was in Columbus, Georgia, that abuts Fort Benning, the military base. And I would have frat brothers out there, and they would have to go through some rigorous training. And that's the way it is with life. You've got to go through some rough times. But Jesus was honest. Foxes have holes, birds they have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We've got to be honest and not try to sugarcoat things, but you can make it with the power of the Lord. And that's the only way I've made it, because of the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of an almighty God. Not because I've been good or perfect, but grace and mercy walk with me every day.
Very meaningful way to end our conversation today with Dr. Mikhail Thomas. The book is A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight. We talked some of the points in the book, so much more. The book is available wherever books are sold. Mikhail D. Thomas Sr., the author, that's M-I-C-K-A-R-L. The book is available wherever books are sold, published by ProIslePublishing.com. Book available, of course, at Amazon. Information on Dr. Thomas and the book, His website is seeinglightthroughthecracks.com. We'll have all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I'd like to thank Pro Isle Publishing Services for arranging our conversation today. Publishing for everyone, marketing and publishing services for professional authors and aspiring writers as well. Dr. Thomas, a pleasure. Would love to be able to do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you so much for being with us on the program and sharing your story.
And thank you for allowing me to be on your program.
It has been our pleasure. The book, once again, is A Prophet's Journey Through Midnight. Dr. McCarl D. Thomas Sr., the author. His website, seeinglightthroughthecracks.com. All the information and links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.